Okay, so from Baladeva Vibhushan's commentary, bottom of 37. Though the jivas have a nature similar to the Lord, they cannot achieve the same status as the Lord, right? Because you'll never be God, right? I mean, the interesting thing is that you have to make such a statement. Right? You know, the jivas are just thinking, well, maybe, you know, but no. Taking shelter of him, the jivas attain the true function, right? That's the natural position of the jiva, is surrendered in a relationship with the Lord. The Lord in relation to the jiva is like the chief prana in relation to the senses, like the ear. Statements of non-difference saying that the jiva is a form of the Lord, though he is dependent on the Lord and functions only in relation to the Lord, are not contradictory to statements of difference.
I have a lot of notes further ahead.
Really? It means I didn't...
41?
I think we're at 41, yes.
41.
Oh, I didn't move the little thingy. Okay. Where on 41?
On the top of the term.
On other practices?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So we finished this. Okay. Great.
That was
great. Yeah, that was fast. We did a lot.
Making some progress.
Yes, really moving forward here. Okay. Other practices, however, such as the cultivation of knowledge, are dependent on bhakti, as stated in the verse that begins with the word shreya, sritim, bhaktim, footnote 17. We did that, no? Okay. Or alternatively, bhakti yoga in practice directly cures, without delay, the general contamination of material suffering. And only pure love of God, the fruit of such practices, cures one's more basic bewilderment and misidentification. Right? So... by practicing devotional service, it directly, immediately takes care of general contamination of material suffering. Right? Because anybody who's new at devotional service, they're not talking about suffering. Right? One may become reconditioned to one's better situation of less suffering. You know, does that make sense? So you end up with that kind of princess and the pea problem. It's not really a problem, but because you're so accustomed to, so therefore it becomes a problem. Right? But he says, only pure love of God, the fruit of such, cures one's more basic bewilderment and misidentification. So that gets rid of because here on this level, basic means you're on liberated platform. Right? But the point is this pure devotion, that's what's dynamic. Right? That's what's going to make things move forward.
Right. Yes. Devotional service gets rid of the ink, and then pure love of God gets rid of the smell in the box.
Yes, yeah, like that. Yeah. Because means you have the Yeah, because here is basically bewilderment and misidentification means that we're enamored or distracted by material energy, that we identify in that way. You know, because that's the weakness still that one has to work with. It's on a subtle platform. Of because here it's also one's more basic bewilderment. One would think, well, that's all basic, but that's just the beginning. No, basic is the actually advanced stage. Because what we're dealing with is not the basic, we're dealing with the secondary. Yes. Right? The primary is I'm the controller and enjoyer. The secondary is I'm a controller in this way or enjoyer in that way because of my particular body and situation and my identity.
Yes.
Right? Yes. So the general devotional service, then just by practicing it, it will get rid of the difficulties that come from this secondary. But it's only this, you know, advanced level will get rid of these this primary. Right? Does that make sense? But we see is that how much is going through. It's just like if one comes to the platform of ecstatic transcendental emotions, then this process is still happening. Does that make sense? And then once that's cleared, then we see that one taking up the association of the Lord's eternal associates, then it moves very quickly from there to love of a pure love of God.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Does that make sense? So the whole thing is it's just in development from the stage, you know, before Shraddha to just before Prema. You know, so you're dealing with the same thing. You're adjusting the whole mentality, adjusting everything. So it's a matter of being a proper servant of Krishna. For us, it's more like an intellectual that I am servant. We have to keep remembering that.
Yes.
Right? But then on the platform of Bhava, then it's a matter of, well, if I serve, how that is, what's the mentality, what's the mood, but these subtle, not just I should be engaged in service, but exactly how it's done.
I should be engaged means you're not.
Yes. Yes. Yes, good point. Yes, I should be doing
yeah, exactly.
Like that. Well, contemplate that point.
Yeah, exactly. So,
yes.
Is it possible to speed up the process, like it's a natural process?
Oh, you mean in devotional service? Or how we're
going
to?
No,
okay.
Not this.
Because, well, you saw we went through 5 pages. You know, like about 15 seconds. We just keep that up to the
yeah,
whole
thing.
Yeah,
we can. Jagannath Kirtan will probably have a problem with it.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Can we speed up the process? It means you can always speed up the process, but there has to be a desire for the process to go quicker. You know, it always comes back to that one thing, having that desire. But that means is having the desire. It means there's a difference between kind of the romantic thought of having the desire and actually being comfortable with that desire being fulfilled.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like, you know, you give the example of standing in the temple in front of the deities, you know, and offering prayers, please engage me in your service and all this, and someone comes up and taps you on the shoulder and says, hey Prabhu, could you help with this? And it's kind of like, hey, I'm busy now. You know, like that. But if the desire is there, means as you cultivate the desire, then as the opportunity comes, you can take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
Or when things, because there's the positive side of it, which is, you know, naturally, you know, there it's just like, you know, hey, can you come and, you know, do some nice service or something like that. And then there's that's the one side, that's the remembering Krishna. Then there's the more tough is the don't forget Krishna side, you know, when the material kind of situation starts falling apart. Right? You know, in other words, the material energy is going to do that anyway, whether you're a devotee or not. You know, it's everything always that goes that way. You know, but the difference is for the devotees we were discussing before, it doesn't get bewildered by that. That was we were discussing in the morning, Bhishmadev's point.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, in other words, we look at what is the positive things in that we have. And the negative you don't worry about so much because that's just the way the material world is. Does that make sense? So much of the time is where the idea is there that materially it should be great. You know, in other words, the devotional life gets better, the material life gets better, everything gets better. And so the thing is they don't have a natural connection. You know what I'm saying? Means you have the element that if you are performing the recommended pious activities that are there,
life will get better.
Means that you do have the improvement in the facilities and things like that. But there's no such connection that you'll be happier with those facilities. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing, is by pious activity you'll improve your material situation. But that will make you any happier than the present. Those two don't go together. You know?
It's not by default.
It's not by default. It's just like, let's say I have some simple food. Okay? And it's sitting there on the table, but I'm not eating it. Right? Or I have some really, really fancy, you know, good quality food, but I'm not eating it. Is there really a difference? Right? No, it's mental that, if I have the better, that'll be nicer, and this and that. But the point is the material facility does nothing for the soul. So the soul can't actually eat it. You know? Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty, is we somehow or another think, no, I'll be able to be happy. Does that make sense? By religious process, facilities increase. I mean, if you hear about it, and that, what were the facilities that devotees had in the 70s or 60s? You know, what we have now means you look at Prabhupada's rule. That's the way it was then. You know, and that was Prabhupada's rule. You know, so I remember. You know, our room was just empty room. There was nothing in the room except for your gumsha and the set of clothes and
that was it.
You know, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so the point comes is that. Your general devotee has more facility than in Prabhupada's room. Now, probably a little less, not necessarily the same. I mean, you have the comparable element of the sattvic lifestyle. But as far as opulence goes, meaning that it costs more or more difficult to arrange, then your general devotees have like that. So you can see as the material facility has increased. So that's a natural consequence from performance of the devotional activities, that just naturally the material things are also developing. It's a side thing. But it's not necessarily that anybody is more satisfied with their more material facility now than devotees were when their room was a bare room. You know, bare room and a common bathroom. Right? Because then nobody worried about it, so it wasn't an anxiety. You know, it's just which room you were in. You know, it's just like a,
Even matter.
Yeah, it means you're in this room, and then every time there's festival, you move out of your room because the festival devotees and they use your room, and you move down into somebody in the basement into somebody's office. The A block was generally always offices, so then everybody who lived in the building moved down there. And it's offices, so that means you set up, under the table or on the side of the table or, someplace. And their office work went on. because there's festivals, lots to manage. And so, it's just someplace to keep your stuff. And you used a different set of common bathrooms, that's all. So that would happen every year, for a month or something. And then you have, as they adjust things around, and you move from the first floor to the second floor, or which block you're in, I think I've lived in A, B, yeah, I've lived in all five blocks, on both floors, like that. I think B, C, and D, I've only lived on the upper floor, but you know, it's just you don't care. But nowadays, is people have facility, but then this is this, that's that. So that's what one has to be ready for. Because when you say you want to become more serious, then you'll also start to notice that the material things don't actually have anything to offer. It's not that something's changed, it's just you become aware of what was always there. Because there's this idea, no, if I get this facility, that will make me happy. No, we get a facility, that's just according to our duty and our ability. You know, something the man is supposed to work as an occupation to take care of the household, right? So everybody goes out and does 8 hours. Now somebody comes back with a small amount of money, somebody comes back with millions or billions. But they're putting in the same effort. So it's accordingly, then you make your arrangements, you know, for what the family requires according to your standard, and then you charity, preaching, you know, all these kinds of things, right? So it's not that it has to be anything less, it's just that whatever you have, you'll notice that it actually doesn't matter. It's not going to make you happy. It's just comfortable to work at that. You know what I'm saying? Somebody needs a big facility, someone wants a small facility. Someone needs more money, someone needs less money. Someone needs more of a social scene, someone needs less of a social scene. That's by their conditioning. You know what I'm saying? Some people don't like social scenes. You know, some people, they thrive on them. You know, somebody needs space. Somebody just likes a little dinky place that's real cozy. You know, you have all these different things. So the point is whatever is the comfortable position to perform devotional service in. You know, the Prabhupada says comfortable means not uncomfortable. Right? So then you don't have to worry about it. You just do your service. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like prasad. You eat a certain kind of prasad, and you don't have to worry about anything going wrong. But if you eat something else, then you're always having to worry about, you know, getting sick or this or that. You know what I'm saying? So you just find what works. But the understanding that, so, does that make sense? So the form won't change, but your appreciation of it, that this is what's going to make you happy or successful or, you know, like that, that starts to change. At the same time as then you start to appreciate, you know, the process of hearing and chanting the association of devotees. Does that make sense? So that's what you have to be prepared for, since it's based on desire. Desire, you know, has to be the mind is accepting this. So that means also the effect will be seen in the mind. Is that okay?
Yeah.
You know, so then, you know, because I remember once someone saying, yeah, you know, so much stuff, I should be renounced and all that, but I'm having trouble getting rid of things and all that. So I said, oh, I can help. Oh, yeah, okay, come. You know, got out all this stuff. And I, you know, you just pick up something. You know, you just show it to them. You know, and they just kind of look at it. You put it in this pile. So, put it in that pile. You know, until then you've divided it up. And then what's in, you know, then what's in this pile, then you go, what do you need this for? You don't even bother with the other pile. You know, and then, well, so you don't really need it. No. Goes in that pile. So then you go through until they have just exactly what they use, what they need, and everything like that. And it's like 1/3 of what they had. Right? You know, it's generally always 1/3. Yeah, it seems to be the magic number, right? So then like that, and oh yeah, great, like this. And then you go away, and then you hear from other devotees, the guy's completely freaking out, having a meltdown, and all this and that, because his whole life's just falling apart. Like that, because he wasn't actually as, you know, renounced as he wanted to be. You know. Does that make sense? So the point is one just has to be prepared that reality is reality, but it's just a matter of whether we want to adjust with it. Yeah, does that make sense? Yeah. And that's the quick way. You understand? But not doing that, then that moves at whatever is the pleasant pace that one's comfortable at, and, you know. But you don't know exactly how long that will take. Does that make sense? So it's not scary. That's why the term surrender is used. because it's a matter of surrender. Is that I mean to do my service to, you know, whatever it is, in both an ashram and varna, I need this amount of facility and time. I don't need more, so therefore one doesn't do more. One uses that time for, you know, sadhana, association with devotees, and these kind of things. You know, even on the, people would even do better if they just spend a little more time with their families. You know, the quality of time just on that platform. You know, they would find that there's more. They would get more out of their life. You know, because they're distracted even from that, trying to get more money, more facility. Does that make sense? Okay. Yes.
Is your relationship with devotees, because there's the conditioned aspect, is that considered a material situation?
No, it's not. The point is that it says like-minded. So basically you have two aspects, primary and secondary. Primary is what is going to be your level or importance of Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The second is going to be that environment or that kind of exchange that you can relate to. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because they'll use words, they'll use examples, they'll apply it in ways that you would apply, and so therefore there's a more commonality. Does that make sense? Because you have to apply Krishna consciousness in your life, and so if they're doing things that you can use in your life, then that will be inspiring. Does that make sense? So the conditioning is part of it, but it's not that's the essential point. Does that make sense? Thus here, just as before, what should be done in Abhideya is indicated. Srila Baladeva Vibhushan explains. Vyasadeva saw the Abhideya as that which destroys Maya. Because it's something will be adjusted by action. Right? Unless, of course, you're far enough north, you know, then somehow or another by doing nothing it goes away.
If you ignore it, it will go away.
Yes, but you have to somehow or another, it seems to be more of a kind of a Viking thing. So therefore, Greenland, Iceland, Svalbard, you know, these kind of places.
Yes,
you do that, it goes away.
Yes.
Right? Maybe it freezes. And, you know,
I think everything freezes.
Yeah, so then. Okay, so the action is performed, but the point is material will generate material. It will increase Maya. Spiritual will decrease Maya and increase the spiritual. The performance of bhakti using the senses depends on instructions. Right, so therefore you have to associate with the spiritual master, the devotees, you have to apply it, contemplate it. Prema depends on the Lord's mercy. Right? So that means is the beginning is going to be taking the instructions, how much you're applying that. That then, by the Lord being pleased, then you get mercy. Right? The cause of mercy is performance of hearing and chanting. So the same thing that you've heard about. Destruction of anartas does not need assistance of karma or jnana. Right? So it's not that you have to do something material to get rid of it. You have to do something spiritual to get rid of it. It means the material is not going to get rid of material. Right? It can switch it from one thing to another. You know, like that, but it won't get rid of it. Like that. Jnana refers to meditation on Brahman.
What does that mean?
Jnana means meditation on Brahman. It means understanding, means for us, that Brahman aspect of Parabrahman, how Krishna's entered everything, how everything works. So then we understand what we're attracted to in this world is Krishna.
But is it in connection with the previous sentence? Or is it kind of standing on its own?
It's destruction of anartas, did not assistance of karma and jnana. Jnana refers to meditation on Brahman. So it's not that by the meditation on Brahman is the cause of mercy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's just is hearing and chanting. Yeah. In other words, you're just thinking about that because it's in relationship to what you've heard from the Bhagavatam.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So, but it's, there's not a separate thing from bhakti.
Yeah.
Sammohan adi means bewilderment and thinking oneself to be the material body. Since sadhana bhakti destroys anarthas, the abhideya is still bhakti.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's the interesting thing, is in most things what you do and the results you get, and having gotten the results, you don't need to do the thing anymore. I don't need to cook lunch once I've had lunch. Right? But bhakti is the process, bhakti is the goal. Right? So it, that's the interesting thing about it. Yeah. Okay. In the next Anucheda, Srila Jiva Goswami discusses the Prayojana Tattva as Vyasadeva realized it. Right? Summary, because we're establishing Bhagavatam, so we see that it's all coming from this meditation, the instructions of Narad Muni. Right? According to Srila Baladeva Vidibhushan, in this verse, Vyasa explains his other realizations in Samadhi in order to make the Prayojana Bhagavat Prema clear. Okay, text 47.1. To elucidate again the final goal, Prayojana, in the same way as before, and to indicate the essential identity of Sri Krishna, previously mentioned as the complete Purusha, Sutta Goswami speaks the verses beginning Yasyam, footnote 18. When one simply gives oral reception to this Vedic scripture, the feelings for loving devotional service to Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sprouts up at once to extinguish the fire of lamentation, illusion, and fear. But because why is there a lamentation, illusion, and fear? Yes, bodily identification, right? So as soon as you hear about Krishna and devotional service to him, you understand who you actually are, right? Because we misidentify. So therefore, then that's an illusion. Right? Then, because of this illusion, we're fearful of loss of this illusion. And then when there is any loss, there's lamentation. Or even they can have the lamentation that you will lose even though you didn't. You know, yeah. it's so wonderfully arranged. You're gonna suffer on both sides, yeah. Right? You know, even if you don't lose it, you're gonna be unhappy, right? You know, Maya's good.
She's got all bases covered.
Yeah, she's good.
Maharaj,
yes.
Is all fear
basically, a relationship with Krishna.
What about fear of Maya?
That's because you're worried about forgetting that relationship. So that fear of Maya, that's okay.
Okay.
You know, unless you have a friend named Maya or something. Fear of Maya.
Likes to beat you up.
Yeah, yeah.
Fear of Maya.
Okay. Okay, so Sutta Goswami speaks. Okay. This verse, by mentioning the benefits to be achieved from hearing the Bhagavatam, describes another of Srila Vyasadeva's realizations. Right. 47.2. Here the word bhakti means pure love of God. Since such pure love develops through the practice of devotional service in the form of hearing. Right? So these different terms, they have different levels. So here he's indicating that bhakti here means the pure love of God.
Prema.
Huh?
Prema.
Okay, footnote 19. There are various senses of which the ear is the most effective. But this sense works even when a man is deep asleep. One can protect himself from the hands of an enemy while awake, but while asleep, one is protected by the ear only. It probably mentions about the, you know, being about the samurai. Never heard that. He was saying is that about Maya. I mean, he's using this example, but he's saying that you have to be so aware of Maya, you know, her tricks. He said the samurai, he's so tuned into hearing, even though he's asleep, he can hear the sound of an enemy, you know, swinging their sword at him. Just the sound it makes going through the air, he wakes up and moves. Like that. So he says, like that. you have to be aware that Maya's, oh, here's one of her tricks, you know, rather than, you know, you turn around and get hit by a fully loaded Mack truck, right? You know, so it's like a, you know, or even better yet, you know, a steamroller. Right?
They don't move as quick as a sword.
Depends, you know.
Oh, wow.
What you have in there, you know, like a 12-cylinder Rolls Royce.
Okay, that's true.
Okay. Maya's quick.
Yeah.
Maj?
Yes.
If we become fully aware of Maya, would that make us paranoid?
Okay. Let us say you're sitting in the office, right? And you're aware of all the various elements that go together to generate economic development. So you can tell if you do this, this will go up, you do that, that'll go down. So you're aware of everything. And so if anything starts to adjust where it will create a, you know, drop in the economics, then you're immediate, because you know the field, you know the technique, you're working to make it work. So you understand? Is that a problem? Is there fear?
Yes.
Why? You know the system.
Have it back to the
but your fear of loss. It's not fear of application. Does that make sense? No.
What I was getting to was the fact that Krishna is the controller and we're aware of all these things, trying to be strategic about it. Does that work? Or
they can, but I'm saying yeah, that you're surrendered to Krishna, you know Krishna will take care of it, so you're not worried about it, then that also works quite easily. You know, but then one has to have that kind of comfort that Krishna's taking care.
So we should get to that point.
That's easier. But the point is Maya's job is only to distract you if you want to be distracted. If you don't want to be distracted, it's not her business to knock you off the path of bhakti if you're nicely situated. That's not her job. You know, it's just like, does that make sense? It's just like, let's say you have a line, right? And there's products going down that line, and you have the inspector. So they're looking at it and seeing what's good and what's not, right? And so anything that's not good is taken off. But anything good, they leave it there. They don't like come there with a hammer and like hit things. You understand? Maya doesn't do that. She only, if you have the desire, then she'll distract you. But if you don't have the desire, it's like...
So she won't have a bad day and hit it anyway?
No, she doesn't have that. She's, and if she does have a bad day, then you know Shiva's got to deal with it, not you. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yes.
Well, but you can get paranoid because you might not want to have the desire, but because of your conditioning, you have that desire.
Yeah, but you have to just keep at not wanting the desire that you have.
What about Jambara?
What about Jambara?
Well, if you know that story, then it's easy to get paranoid.
Why is it easy to get paranoid? You just don't do that.
Yeah, but he didn't mean to do that.
Yeah, but not meaning to do Maya still works as Maya. He didn't mean to stick your finger in the fire or, you know, but it's still... The point is that pure devotion works in its particular way. It's just that's what it is. All you have to do is follow the process. You know what I'm saying? You know, you're sitting in the kitchen cooking, you're looking at your recipe book, you know, you're also watching something on the television, and you're doing all the different things, and then something happens on the television, you watch longer, then it burns. Right? You know, so now you get a paranoid. No, don't watch the television and cook. That's all it says. Right? Well, you have a lot of problem with baby deers.
Well, you know, after watching Bambi and... No, I know...
Yeah, but then in there you still get the material nature, right? what happened to Bambi's mom. Right? Yeah. So that's the material world.
No, I don't have a problem with ideas, but I am paranoid.
But paranoia might be just your natural constitution.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Because the point is depending upon what it is, in other words, the mode of ignorance will create lamentation. Like that. So the more one identifies with the external environment, the more these qualities come up. That's all. So all it is a matter of wanting to switch from that, because this conditioning is just the conditioning of this life. Last life it was something else. So it's not that this is special and unique. This is just where it happens to be right now.
Can I get rid of it somehow?
Well, you don't want to totally get rid of it, otherwise then you don't have a body to do service with. You know, if you completely get rid of it, then you... A bead bag is a lot bigger than 1/10,000 the tip of the hair, so really hard to chant.
Okay.
You understand? The point is engage in Krishna's service.
Engage my paranoia.
No, engage what you're paranoid about in Krishna's service.
Okay.
But if it's connected to Krishna, where's the Maya? Where there's Krishna, there's no Maya. So Maya means lack of Krishna. Just like darkness is lack of light. You know, you turn off the light, it gets dark. So don't, if you don't want that darkness, don't turn off the light. That make sense? Yeah. The importance of hearing is mentioned here in connection with attaining the highest perfection of life. Namely, getting free from three material pains. Everyone is full of lamentation at every moment. So you're saying everyone, so you don't have to single yourself out and then flog yourself. You know, it's not necessary. He is after the mirage of illusory things, and he is always afraid of the supposed enemy. Notice how in that one sentence he said the same thing. He said lamentation, illusion, and a fear.
Yeah.
But now this time he gave an example of it. Yeah. Lamentation at every moment. Mm. He is after the mirage of illusory things, and he is always afraid of the supposed enemy. Supposed. Because, you know. He is my enemy. He's red. We're black. You know what I'm saying? It's just...
Down with red.
Huh?
Down with red.
Down with red, yes. But the point is red has friends. You know, so the thing is the rocks don't care. We make it. We say our conditioning is better than their conditioning.
Better than the rocks' conditioning?
Mm. You have to kind of like take it and try to apply it into another. If you take it so literally, then... like, okay, take it that in this rock there's a soul, and in this rock there's a soul, right? And so then they take their bodily identification as important, and they don't like someone else's. But the point is the rock don't care. It's the soul and the body that actually has a problem. So that's why it says so-called enemies, because no, it's actually an enemy, because what you identify as an enemy is dead matter. How is dead matter going to be your enemy? Where is it?
Top.
Oh, very, okay, there, I was thinking. The word utpadyate, sprouts up, means becomes manifest. The phrase which extinguishes the fire of lamentation, illusion, and fear, describes a side effect of prema bhakti, in which even the subtlest traces of inauspicious feelings disappear. So it's a side benefit. And this, and as it said, just by sadhana bhakti, even though it hasn't come to prema, it's still getting the effect. Because on one level, when we say about prema bhakti, means that's all we're dealing with. It's just not in the most, what we call the stage of prema is the mature, full maturity of that. So before that, we're dealing with it in its, you know, some aspect of it. So it's, even for the neophyte, it's pure devotional service that's giving the effect. It's just that there's not, the volume of pure devotional service is less than someone as they advance.
And the steadiness?
Yeah, steadiness, all these different things. So it's just a matter of, there is only pure devotional service. There isn't another kind of devotional service. We call mixed, that means, what do you mix? Pure devotional service mixed with material. It's not that there's a different kind of bhakti. Right? There's only one kind of bhakti that's pure. That then you have, you can mix that with something. Just like you have milk, and then you mix it with something. You know? It's still milk mixed with. Yes. You understand? Yes. We give it a name. Right? Yes. You know, it's a milkshake or something like this, but it's still milk mixed with other yes. things. So it's bhakti, pure bhakti, mixed with. Does that make sense? It's not a different kind of bhakti. Okay?
Yes.
Yes.
Why was the point made before that it was...
A little more than that.
Why was the point made before that it was Rati that was moving the process? And
that because then you say prema, well, what aspect of prema, how does prema do that? It does it in the form of Rati. Because that's the bud, it hasn't fully manifested. So prema means it's fully manifested, but it's still, all of those are the 10 stages of prema. Right? So that's just the first stage. In other words, so just like this, the first stage is giving so much effect. So you can imagine, you know, how much the mature form, the second stage. And then, you know, beyond that, you know.
Because you were taking the term Rati to mean bhava before?
Bhajan, bhakti, and beyond.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. We should open the chain.
Yeah.
Before we were taking bhava to mean rati, or rati to mean bhava.
Bhava and rati are the same. You're just looking at two different aspects. Bhava means you're looking at the ecstasy experienced. Rati means the attraction to Krishna that's generating that ecstasy. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Yes. You know, it's the same thing. It's just what you're looking at it. You know, if you say it's my car, then you're talking about, you know, the legal facts of it. If you say my wheels, you're talking about the social element. You understand? Okay. So all it is the same thing. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Sri Rishabhdev affirms this when he says, therefore, until one has love for Lord Vasudeva, who is none other than myself, one is certainly not delivered from having to accept a material body again and again. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.6. Right? So, yes. So here it's been meaning, you're talking about the whole process. Right? So, Baladeva Vidyabhushan comments on this section. Prema appears rather than being created. It is impossible that it is created at a certain time, since it is essence of chit shakti, which is eternal, along with prema. But the chit shakti is the original shakti, right? Because here in chit, it's generally, if we only say chit shakti, we don't mean chit of sat chit ananda. We mean chit meaning the surup shakti, the complete internal potency, right? Then because it's always there, therefore bhakti, you know, means prema, can't be created. Along with prema, accompanying qualities are mentioned. With the appearance of prema, the impressions, samskaras, are destroyed. Right, so that means, so when you apply samskara, meaning the material. Right, that.
Basically, this is the mind.
Hmm?
The mind, basically. This.
It's just the impressions that are there in the mind. Because the mind chooses one or the other. The mind becomes impressed. So if it's devotional, then that becomes the samskaras. But devotional service, samskaras, and that you don't have to get rid of. Yes.
Why was prema accompanying qualities mentioned?
Like the removal of illusion, fear, and lamentation.
That would be
It's not? So instead of lamentation, now you're you know, stable or happy. Instead of illusion, now you're knowledge. Instead of fear, you're... You know what I'm saying? Negative qualities are simply the lack of the positive.
This isn't what
quality is. From what I can see, is because this is what's being referred to. No? Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe?
Yeah. The absence of lamentation.
Because in this section he's not talking about other qualities. Mm-hmm. You know, otherwise you also know that it means there's also the mention of the devotee develops all the qualities of the demigods. You know, so you have all these different things. You know, he's freed from internal entanglement. He's all, so all these are qualities. Srila Prabhupada similarly glorifies the process of hearing Bhagavatam as the panacea to all material problems. There are various senses of which the ear is the most effective. The sense works even when a man is deep asleep. One can protect himself from the hands of an enemy while awake, but while asleep one is protected by the ear only. The importance of hearing is mentioned here in connection with attaining the highest perfection of life, namely getting free from the three material pangs. Everyone is full of lamentation at every moment. He is after the mirage of illusory things. And he is always afraid of a supposed enemy. Also, another interesting thing is because protected by the ear only, that means by hearing. So it means the instructions of the Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. That's what will protect you.
Yes.
Like that.
Yes.
Otherwise, the hands are there. You can do things with the hands. You know, but actually it's the that higher element will be the principle.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
What do you mean by, or what does the book mean by protect? Like, in what way?
He's giving the example here of just whatever's the situation. So protect you from the hands of the enemy here would be compared to Maya. So it's by the process of hearing, right? So in other words, he's showing that you can do a certain amount with your hands, but the point is through hearing, then you can always protect yourself. So by hearing from authorities and then applying that, you'll be protected from Maya. Does that work? The transcendental sound is so effective that it acts at once by removing all material affections mentioned above. As mentioned before, a living entity develops a sort of complexity by material association, and the illusory encagement of the material body is accepted as an actual fact. Right? It means actual fact means that we are that. Right? Under false complexity, so in other words, then, it means so. Even from the materialist point of view, then they are, I say, just they have a different definition of that.
Yes.
I guess they should say, you are this.
That is.
So the karmis say you are this, and the gyanis say you are that.
Yes.
Okay. Even the most developed stage of human life, the same illusion prevails in the form of many isms and divides the loving relationship with the Lord and thereby divides the loving relationship between man and man. So here's the fun part is that when he's saying it's more developed, so in other words, before we're talking about just eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, when you develop more into the expanded social, the extended sense gratification, you get all the isms.
Yes.
Right? Because in Dharma and Moksha, there's no isms.
Yeah.
Right, and in Kama, you know, who cares about isms, you know, like that. So it's only in the Pranamoy, in Artha, that there's isms.
Yes.
Right. So now the problem with the isms, they sound good, but it says it separates your, it divides your loving relationship with the Lord, and the more you do that, the more then division between man and man. Right. So this whole idea, it's thought as this is, will bring things together, but it doesn't. There was closer communities than that when it wasn't a global village.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Prabhupada says in United Nations, but every year they're simply adding more
flags. More flags, yes, yes. Yes, that's exactly it. But there's the idea that it should be better. But the relationships people have get less and less. Before you had huge families, or the whole village, everybody knew everybody. You know? But now it's like, you know, you're not even sure if you know the other members of the family, right? You know, the boy's up, in his room playing a video game. The girl is on, texting, like that. The mother's on the phone and this and that. And the dad's off who knows where. And that's if there is a dad. That's just checking if you were paying attention. So that's the problem, is it doesn't have... It's getting less and less and less. Now you have to bring together community, then you have to have Facebook, something like that. And then you have so-called friends like that. And you know what I'm saying? So, how many of you actually know that you have friends with? So as far as the social thing, it just gets less and less. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like that. So, that's what's going on in the material community.
Right.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm just trying to understand something. I just want to go back to what I asked previously. So, protecting from Maya by Maya meaning that she'll act based on your desire if you desire something. So, in what way does it protect from Maya? By removing the desire?
Yeah, I mean, so many are just removed, more prominent ones than you're left to deal with.
Through hearing?
Means it's through hearing that you hear about how these desires are not important. Yeah. Right? In other words, before hearing from spiritual authorities, we're quite convinced that we're the body and everything connected to it is actually quite important. So by hearing, then we start to understand it's not so important. Right? It means the association of the devotees, what you can do in devotional, so what you can do with the body, what you can do with that association, what you can do with your facilities, that's important. You know what I'm saying? But that through those facilities, through those relationships, I'm going to become happy on the material platform. We learn that it's an illusion that can actually happen. It's not that you can kind of get something, but not that much. You can't get anything out of it. Otherwise, why do people keep changing? Why are there, 20 brands of something? Why are there, more and more games, You know what I'm saying? Before you have one simple thing, and then, next thing you notice that they play the same game with rollerblades, And then the next time, you hear about it, develops, then it's full contact. It just keeps going. It's just why? Because it doesn't work in the one way it is. Right? Unless, of course, it's hockey and you're Canadian. But other than that, it's always changing. No, even there they try to change it. They try to make it less violent. And then everyone's like, well, what's this nonsense? That's
not fun.
Yeah, that's for Americans.
Bring in helmets.
All these things.
Oh, okay. Is that me? Want to say something? No, okay.
So the hearing is just the beginning of the protection, though, because it's not...
No, the hearing is... The point is that hearing is the process, and then you get a result from process.
If you apply it and understand it.
If you apply it, yes. But to that degree you do apply it, and that degree you do understand it. Because it said that even just the general application of the process of sadhana bhakti removes these things. Right? Like that. Because the main point of prema is developing love for Krishna. Getting rid of the material effect, that's a side thing. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Isn't that the point on the previous page? It said bhakti cures without delay the general contamination of material suffering.
Yes.
And pure love of God cures the root cause of all that.
Yes, yes. Because your suffering is coming. No one's really, if you think about it, no one's suffering because I'm the controller and enjoyer. that concept, I'm the controller and enjoyer, it's not like, you know, I'm suffering because I think like this. I'm suffering because I can't apply it. You know, so that's where the problem comes out. So what we're saying is that just practice of sadhana bhakti, that will get rid of the effect of where you're applying it. But it's prema will get rid of that I am the controller and enjoyer. Right? You know, so prema being the whole thing, so we understand that goes away in rati. Right? And then it's permanent when you come to prema. You know, there it's because that's the point, that's sampatti, that means inherited. So now that's the natural position. It won't become something else. No one falls from prema. Does that make sense? Yeah.
When we talk like this about prema, it's generic.
It's generic, yeah.
Like Vaikuntha, all that.
Yeah.
No,
it's the same. It's the same. But we've seen, that means in other words, one will come to that stage. But we saw that Vaikuntha you can get into from the platform of Naishkarmya if you have association with the pure devotees. But that means then they instill in you a sense of majesty of the Lord, you know, that awe and reverence. It can go from that position. Right. But what we're aiming at is pure devotion is what's going to get you to. Because we're not just interested just in that platform. We're interested in that closeness, that intimacy. So that requires more development. Right.
Maharaj?
Yes?
If we know that Krishna's God now and we're worshipping Him with an aspect of awe and reverence, do we forget that?
It's not a matter of forgetting, it's just not important.
So the residents of Vrindavan, they know, but it's not important?
It means means who's writing this stuff?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's not that they don't, it's just not that, it's not important in the relationship. It's just like when the high court judge comes home. Does his wife not know he's the high court judge?
She doesn't know
she does. Huh? But does it matter?
No.
No. That's the whole point. You know, he's an idiot. He forgot the cauliflower. You know, you're a high court judge, you know, and you can't you remember all these rules and this, and you can't remember the cauliflower? Right? You understand?
It's just that I remember reading in Krishna book a few times when Krishna covers by...
Well, that's there in the pastimes, and then you have the Yogamaya. But the point is those are the persons that are describing here.
Yeah.
Right? You know, Mother Yashoda, when Lord Chaitanya is sitting in with all the dirty pots, then Sachimata, then she is explaining, you know, because he says, well, it's all one, so it doesn't matter, and then she defeats all the Mayavad philosophy. Right? So she knows all the philosophy. It's just that it's not something you need to use all the time. You know? It's just like, you know, just like you're having a whole relationship and party and all these different things, and you're interacting with all the people according to positions and this and that. It is a fact, in your bathroom, behind the toilet, there's a little brush that sits in a little container. You do have one of those. Is it important at this point? Yeah, so that's the whole point. You know, but if you say, oh, do you have one of those little brushes? And they can say yes. But otherwise, if you don't bring it up, it's not going to be something you really discuss, right? There are no Mayavadis in Goloka, so you don't have to worry about it. But it's not that they can't deal with them if it need be. Okay? Yes?
Maharaj, if no one falls from the level of prema, does this mean that we haven't been on that level before?
That's exactly what it means. So you didn't fall from a position of love of God. I was actually impressed in the class yesterday. It went by and no one said anything. I was good. Yeah. Like that. You understand? Weren't on the level of prema. Means tatastha means what? It's in the middle. So you can only fall from the tatastha position. You don't fall from prema. And material, you know, karma, jnana is fallen. So you can't start with Brahman. That's already a fallen position. It's only sat. You know what's happening. Right? The soul is chitnananda, so the soul is superior to that. You know what I'm saying? So you fall from a position that is tatastha. So you're not conditioned, but you don't have prema. So that means is that plat is pra from a Brahma Bhuta. You fall from Brahma Bhuta. Or, yeah. You understand? That's the position.
So in spiritual world, not everyone has...
But spiritual world, what's your definition of spiritual world? That's the whole problem. Because you'll take a spiritual world means only Goloka. You're sitting in the spiritual world now. You know what I'm saying? This is a manifestation of Goloka here. But it's not manifesting the pastimes at this point. They're hidden. They're going on. Lord Chaitanya is going with the Sankirtan and stuff like that, and you know it's going. It's all going on. Okay. Hopefully, they're not. Watching us.
I don't think they are.
Murari Gupta and one of the other devotees are walking down the hill.
What's going on here? This is freaky.
Yeah. Okay? Hopefully your whole world doesn't crash down around you at this time. You'll survive?
Yeah.
Makes more sense, no? Because otherwise, if you fall from prema, then, what's the point? I mean, of course, you have the point that, you burnt yourself in the fire, you won't stick your finger in it again. So you have that aspect, but the point is this, no, it's from the tatastha position. Okay. By hearing the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam, this false complexity of materialism is removed. So it's a false complexity, because that's also another illusion, is that, we're so sophisticated, we're so developed. But it's a false complexity, because what's developed? The soul's not developed. You've only made a sophistication of the material arrangements. Right? It's like, so you're hitting yourself on the head with the silver hammer instead of with a iron one, or a steel one, somewhat developed.
Somewhat. Stainless?
Stainless steel, yeah, it's a little bit more sophisticated.
Stainless on the head, hammer that's stainless.
Stainless steel.
No, that's what he means. It means you have iron, then you have steel, then you have stainless steel, then you have silver, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And real peace in society begins, right? That's when it starts. Which politicians aspire for so eagerly in so many political situations. Everyone aspires for it because it's the natural condition of the soul. Right? But they don't know how to get it. That's the problem. They're using material solutions, all these isms, to get it. But they won't get it. Peace comes when you accept God's position. He's the master. Bhokta ramya jyakapasam sarvalo. That's when it starts. The conclusion that simply by hearing the Vedic literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, one can have direct connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. And thereby one can attain the highest perfection of life by transcending worldly miseries, illusion, and fearfulness. These are practical tests for one who has actually given a submissive hearing to the readings of Srimad Bhagavatam. 177 per part. Right? So here is that worldly miseries is going down, illusion is going down, fearfulness is going down. So those are practical tests. That's how you can tell. Yes. If you want to know, am I advancing? Then this is. Is jnana and vairag there? Right? Instead of illusion, there's knowledge. Right? Instead of miseries, then there's the detachment.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? The word Paramapurushe, for the Supreme Person, for the Supreme Purusha, refers to the previously mentioned complete Purusha. In what form does he appear? as stated, he appears as Krishna, right? So, in other words, he's using these different terminologies to bring out different aspects of the same person. So he's showing that's there. Otherwise, we might think, oh, this means this aspect, that means that. You know, if we're thinking it's completely separate, that there's no connection between the line of thought. So here is pointing out, no, it means the same. Right? In what form does he appear? As stated, he appears as Krishna. There are countless persons whose hearts are immersed in contemplation on thousands of scriptural statements, such as Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. But Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.28, or who subscribe to the same opinion, having gleaned it through the authority of disciplic succession. For all these persons, Krishna becomes the most... Krishna becomes the most immediate object of perception as soon as they merely hear his name. Indeed, a mantra, including even just the first syllable of his name, evokes interest in him. Right? So, if you studied about him, either you've studied the scriptures broadly, and so therefore you come across, you've noticed that there's these thousands of quotes that are talking about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that catches your attention. Or you've gleaned this by hearing from authorities. Right? So you didn't actually have to really do the gleaning, but you get the effect. They've already done it for you. Right? So either one, by those who are not scholars or those who are scholars, then one is by hearing Krishna's name, that reminds you of Krishna. You think of Krishna. Right? Rather than just Krishna is a name. Right? Yes.
So that's an elevated position?
Yes. That's what he's meaning. For all these persons, Krishna is the most immediate object of perception as soon as they merely hear his name. So as soon as you hear the name, then you think of Krishna. So he becomes the immediate.
You need the mode of goodness to be on that platform.
Yeah, but it's just purified. But that's the nice thing about it, is by chanting the holy name, it actually qualifies you for that position. That's the aspect. Right? So it's not a separate endeavor. That's what it's way to get. But it's like what we're saying, this definition of the spiritual world. We have an idea that can only mean this, rather than it means the spiritual world. So whether it's manifest in Goloka or it's manifest here, it's still the same place. Right? So we have these element of what was the word that we were going to do the same thing with? You missed it.
It was maybe because of Purisha and using the same...
That was where this is starting, but the principle came, but there was another word I was going to mention. But. Okay. 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 The Purusha appears in that form of Krishna. 20. Footnote 20. Simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Vishnu, such sinful persons may attract the attention of the Supreme Lord, who therefore considers, because this man has chanted my holy name, my duty is to give him protection. Right here. It says such sinful persons may attract. So they haven't come to the... So it's just saying even simply by chanting. So it's Bhagavatam 6.2.10.
Why
it's mentioned Purusha? Purusha, because he's always talking about Parama Purusha, or what was the other one is complete Purusha. So that form is Krishna, right? So that's what we're meaning here, because that complete form is Swayam Krishna. So that's what he's getting back to, because that's what's important about Bhagavatam, because Bhagavatam is Swayam Krishna. Because the other Puranas, they'll talk about generally Vishnu, but they don't talk about Swayam Krishna. They may refer to, but they don't. That's not necessarily the focus. Right? So because we're establishing Bhagavatam as, because we want to say it's the end of it is the Vedanta of the Vedanta. Right, that's the word that he's establishing. Yes.
Can we say also that the holy name is also Swayam Krishna?
Yes, Means if you heard it in this line, it will be. But if you hear it in the Vaikuntha line, they also chant, it will not be. It will be because Krishna is also there in Vaikuntha.
Yes.
Like that. So I was told about it, I haven't seen it, that there's one of his works, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, talks about the holy name and gives a translation of the holy name on all these different levels of the so what it would mean in Vaikuntha, what it would mean like this. But basically it's the principle of surrendering to the Lord and his internal potency. And thereby, from that relationship and that service, one will taste that happiness of devotional service. That will remain the same, but the specifics, you know, that will be different. Mm-hmm. Is that so?
Maharaj, to chant your name or to hear Bhagavatam, it is the same level.
Yes, like that. Okay. So that's why it means you're supposed to do both. Like that, because the chanting is there, so you're associating with Krishna, because, and the Bhagavatam is there, so you understand who you're chanting about.
Yes.
Like that. Is that so?
Yes.
And then what we see is that much of the time when the five processes of devotional service, then it's always hearing Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees.
Yes.
Like that. It'd be mentioned like that. Because sometimes they're put together, sometimes they're kept separately. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam associating with devotees, chanting, but when it puts them together, then we have Tulsi as the fifth.
Mm-hmm.
Worship of Tulsi. But it's not that Tulsi gets lost, because one of them is worship the deity, and in Swadhyaya, worshiping the deity, you have to be worship of Tulsi.
Mm-hmm.
So it's either she's brought out as prominent because you wanted to make sure that they understood as you're hearing Bhagavatam in association with devotees. So then Tulsi comes into that prominent position. Mm-hmm. If not, then you're going through, then she's part of the worship of the deity anyway, yes.
So devotees doesn't mean like the other humans, it means pure devotees like Tulsi?
No, it means it was a different point we're making here. We're talking about two different lists of the five angas of bhakti, main angas of bhakti. Like that. No, there, the devotees means those who are interested in pure devotion. Like whether they're on the platform of pure devotion, that's another thing, but their interest is pure devotion. Does that make sense? Okay. The Purusha appears in that form of Krishna. In the words of the author of Nama Kamudi, the word Krishna, whose meaning is established by convention, is the name of the Supreme Brahman, whose complexion is dark blue like a tamal tree, and who sucks the breast of the mother Yashoda. Bhagavan Nama Kamudi 3.11. On this passage, Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan comments, the form of Krishna is the prime object of realization for countless people, such as Sutta and Jayadeva. Tannama means Krishna's name. Ruti is the meaning without taking the meaning of the roots and affixes, such as mandapa means a type of house or tent. 21. In Sanskrit, words have an etymological derived meaning, yaugika, and a meaning due to popular usage, ruti. The ruti or popular meaning is always the primary meaning. In cases where they differ, the popular meaning always takes precedence over the derived. Yogyadurudhir Baliyasi. In this instance, the roots and affixes of the name of Krishna, Krishna, indicate the same personality as that indicated by the primary usage. In the Mahabharata and Gopalatapani Upanishads, for example, the etymology is described thus. The syllable Krish denotes existence, and the syllable Na denotes bliss. The eternal Lord Krishna is also always Vishnu in both these senses. Mahabharata Yogya Parva 70.5. In other words, the two-handed cowherd boy Krishna is not different from the supreme, eternal, and blissful personality of Godhead. So he's saying that because otherwise you can take as the derivation is it's Krishna. You can get existence and bliss. But the how you say the rudhi, the popular usage is this means the personality of Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So all the acharyas, everybody uses this name in that way. So you shouldn't therefore take it etymologically, break it down, and give it a different connotation. You understand? It's not a problem to break words down as long as they keep that original meaning. Right? Because you see that they will break it down, but they're bringing out, they're enhancing that understanding. So here also the rudhi means his popular usage, means popular means amongst the, you know, the senior personalities. You know, it's not the,
you know.
Yeah, it's not that Rolling Stone magazine uses it, so therefore it's popular. It's,
I didn't know they did that survey.
You didn't? You had that whole Sanskrit etymological section.
I should read more Rolling Stone magazine.
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
Acharyas take care of it okay. Nicely. You're not missing out on it.
They have gleaned the...
They have gleaned, yes, yes. Okay, just that rudhi is the meaning. Without taking the meaning of the rusa, just as mandapa means a type of house or tent, Krishna is famous as the son of Yashoda. Right? Means mandapa means a house or tent. So when you say mandapa, you'll think that. You don't think down to the root.
Yeah.
That's why Vyasadeva said someone who deals with everything by its root then is considered a fool. Because then he's missing the whole point. Because you're trying to express something. And so language is for that expression. So what is the common understanding in that expression by, you know, those of who are, I was with the word before, apta, you know, who is qualified. Then it becomes, that's how it's used. Because the root derivation, if it supports that, then it's worthwhile. If it doesn't, then you accept the common usage over the popular usage, over the etymological.
It's similar to what atheists do by breaking everything down and losing the whole point in the process.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay. Summary of text 48. This Anucheda provides more evidence from the Bhagavatam verses describing Vyasadeva's trance, which prove that prema is the highest aspiration of the jiva. Specifically, it shows how prema is more attractive than even the bliss of Brahman. This is the importance of before. Why go to that trouble?
Yes.
Right? Because if one has come to this material position from the platform of liberation or Brahma Bhuta, that means that kind of happiness is what you know. Mm. Right? So you're trying to show that there's something beyond that. Otherwise, then much of the time people are worried about how to get out of the material world rather than how to get into the spiritual world. And into the spiritual world means in a relationship with the Lord. Because as pointed out, if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, it's not actual liberation.
Yes.
That's why we're here.
Yes. Well, our focus is wrong.
Yeah, you have to switch the focus. So therefore, the happiness of prema is unlimitedly beyond that of Brahman. And Brahman is, you know, immense compared to the material. You know?
Yes.
So then, you know, the significance of that, you're talking about unlimited compared to the ocean of Brahman, that's and then material nature is like a drop. So then you're taking that drop and comparing it to, you're going beyond that. You're taking the ocean and then that's compared to the drop. And then, so, you know what I'm saying? Because how do you say unlimited compared to, you know, so it's just, you can't explain it. So you show it compared to something else, and you can see that something's going on here. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So yes.
Sorry. The Brahman platform, Nishta?
No, the Brahman platform meaning means Brahma Bhuta is just, in other words, you have this stage of Brahma Bhuta. Now Brahma Bhuta is generally means that position of liberation.
Yeah.
Brahma-bhuta generally means it's in connection with devotional service.
Yes.
So that position can be applied in devotional service or not. You know what I'm saying? Just as the distraction for, you know, give the example, those gopis that didn't go to the rasa dance.
Yes.
That's because they're distracted by, and it says, Vishwanath saying, by the duties around the house, taking care of the kids, the meals, the things, the, you know, the cow dung patties, all these kind of things. So what does that mean, the externals? You know, The external means it's not about the relationship with Krishna. So, from that position, that's by habit. Right? But the same thing is you can fall into that category in the first place. Mm-hmm. Is that you look at the facilities of the spiritual world rather than the relationships. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Relationships meaning the dynamic interaction connected with Krishna. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So it's the same thing.
The difference.
You understand? Yeah. So that means from that position, you could be coming up and going through it on the way up, yeah. Or you could be in that position on the way out. So, but it's the same position. How do you correct yourself? You have to be at the place where you went wrong, you have to get back to that to correct it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? If you're going down the road and you made a wrong turn, you have to go yes. back to that point and then go the right way.
Yes.
So you come back to that platform of, but now it's Brahma Bhuta rather than just simply being Tathasta. Because Tathasta means it could be this, could be that. But now it's about, no, it's only Krishna. So that's Brahma Bhuta. So when we talk about Bhava, it is in that state of approaching that to develop love for Krishna. You know what I'm saying? That's the point. So therefore, we don't compare the two, even though technically they're the same situation, but we don't compare them. Because one's the Tathasta position, the other is the actual dynamic, almost mature development of love of God. So that's why also bhava can mean ecstasy, it can mean rati. So in other words, the first stage means one is liberated, but there is no attraction. The second time when coming there is attraction, right? And that's why we also know, because we can say, well, how do we know it's attraction? But Bhaktivinoda Thakur had mentioned that elements of rati, not bhava, because bhava goes all the way down to shraddha, but rati is starting with ruchi. You're getting that attraction to the Lord. You know, that means that dynamic kind of thing. You know, then it intensifies, and then it's not about his processes and what you gain, what you feel from that, but the person himself. Then that matures into bhava.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So the stage of bhava.
Yes. My doubt is about at once transcends the three modes of material nature and comes to the level of Brahman.
Because one is that's the stage you're at. But you still like to identify, you know, with the conditioned state. You know, the body's there, and so you still like to identify with it. But otherwise, one doesn't have to. Once one comes in contact with devotional service, one no longer has to work under the modes. But we tend to due to habit. It
doesn't make sense, but it happens.
But it happens. You know, it's like you were saying, yeah. Okay. Vyasa realized this and taught the Srimad Bhagavatam to his son Sukadeva in order to induce the same appreciation, because his son is appreciating Brahman, the bliss of Brahman. But he's all he has to do is say some verses and he immediately can see there's something more. Because the happiness coming from the Bhagavatam is, you know, so much greater. It's not just it's a touch greater, you know, I can take it or leave it. You know, it's serious enough that, you know, he decides, hey, yeah, we're going to do this. Yeah, okay. Secondly, Srila Jiva Goswami uses the same Bhagavatam passage to resolve a debate concerning the dating of the Bhagavatam. Some mundane scholars argue whether it is older than the Mahabharata or newer, right? Because then the author shows how it was in fact spoken twice as an abridged version before the Mahabharata and a fuller one form after. Like that. So then that solves the problem.
You think so?
Abridged means the one that Yasinath saw what?
The abridged seems to be that one is it was before. I mean, you have two aspects. One is that it's before Narad Muni came and told him, you know, so that he understood his dissatisfaction, because he had an idea. Because I didn't directly explain, so he already put together like an abridged form of Bhagavatam. And then after speaking with Narad Muni, then he put the full form. But then speaking to Sukadeva Goswami, it appears that he gave the abridged form before, when he was within the womb, so he would say, okay, you know, we'll come out. Right? You know, yeah. And then afterwards, then the full form was formed. Yeah. Text 48. Vyasadeva also 48.1. Vyasadeva also perceived that this final goal of life is superior even to the experience of bliss in the impersonal Brahman supreme. The evidence for this is that he taught the Bhagavatam to Sukadeva, who is situated in that bliss of Brahman. Right? So that's important to bring that there. In order to induce him to induce in him an appreciation for the special qualities of the bliss of love of God. This is stated in the verses beginning Sa Samhitam 22. Okay, Sa Samhitam Bhagavatim Kritvanu Kramya Chatmajam Sukham Adyapayam Asha Nivritti Niratam Munim. The great sage Vyas, after composing the Srimad Bhagavatam and revising it, taught it to his son, Sri Sukadeva Goswami, who was absorbed in renunciation. The phrase, after composing the Bhagavatam and revising it, shows that Vyas first wrote the Bhagavatam in a condensed version and then later, by Narada's instructions, expanded it systematically. This reconciles two ideas. The one found in Srimad Bhagavatam, that the Bhagavatam appeared after the Mahabharata, and the other mentioned elsewhere, that the Mahabharata appeared after all 18 Puranas. Right? Footnote 23, which is... Where is it?
Next page. Here. Well, probably.
I got 24.
Yeah, it's not there.
But no, 23 is not there.
Short book.
Invisible form.
It's very, very subtle form.
It seems that it's the top of the next page.
Yeah.
Oh, having produced the
18th.
Oh, the chakra. So, Srila Prabhupada, following the conclusion expressed by Jiva Goswami, that's actually the top of this page.
I think you can just keep reading it, it'll make sense.
Okay. Stop. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, but this. But it's above the line.
Yeah.
Okay.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai
Namo Bhaktivinoda ki
Jai
Jai Nitai Gaura
Hare Hare